This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors of our dominant culture and parent with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out my last episode of the Family Culture Movement with Lisa Ann Fontana, where we talk about what it means to be comfy in your country. All right, welcome to the show, Calvin Wijaya. Calvin is the creator and host of Global Citizens, a Facebook Live webcast and YouTube show, where he invites entrepreneurs and content creators who have experienced a multicultural lifestyle, such as third culture kids. So you can hear in the background, tell us what that is, Calvin.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me, Jody. So just a little bit of a brief explanation. So my house is actually inside a mosque. So yeah, it's in the morning now, so there's going to be prayers. Therefore, yeah,
that's cool.
It's actually the prayers.
That's okay. I think that's so cool.
Well, we are in a different world.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's what when you signed up to come on the show, I was just like, you know, this is great to be able to talk about people who have, you know, multicultural experience, third culture kids, like you call them, right. You know, you say digital nomads and what is that? Expatriates.
Expatriates.
I can read. And international speakers. And, you know, so this third culture idea that you're working with, you know, talking to people who are global citizens and global nomads, like that's so cool that you have this diverse experience. And also you say, you spent your formative years in Singapore, then returned back to your birth country in Indonesia.
Right.
And, that, you know, you have, you're interested as a voice and advocate for TCK, so third culture kids. Correct. And that your interest, so it started due to experience of your own frustration with reverse culture shock. That is so fascinating to me, because after, you know, I mentioned to you before we hit record that, you know, I lived in Hawaii for a year and a half. I was actually doing a service mission there. And I've never traveled outside of the US except to Canada and technically Hawaii is part of the United States, but it was definitely a different culture. And sure. When I came back home, it was like, I understand what you're saying. Not only, you know, the difference of the cultural experience, but then also seeing so many people for the first time after so long, it was like, who are these people? I feel like I'm not even the same person anymore.
Correct.
So that is so fascinating. And so you say that you dedicated your time to providing a platform for fellow multiculturals to tune in and hear that they are not alone, and that there are others who went through similar experiences only to come out stronger and more successful. So awesome. Calvin, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very, very welcome. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's actually 5 a.m. in Indonesia now. So,
well, I appreciate you getting that early.
Yeah.
I'm not a morning person, so I definitely acknowledge you for that. So thank you.
I'm a morning person in a sense,
good.
But not too morning. However, I was really excited for this. I couldn't actually sleep last night. So.
Oh, good. Well, I'm honored. I'm honored to have you. I really appreciate it. So this is awesome. So tell us a little bit more about this, your experience of why you started the Global Citizen webcast, and you know, what was your experience?
All right. For those who actually is interested to hear more, to find out more about it, So Global Citizens is written as Global as CK Citizen. So a little fun story about that. So when I first started doing the show, it was written as how it's supposed to be, Global and a Citizens. However, I think at that time when my show was picking up steam, at that time I've had a lot of really interesting guests. I found out that there's actually two organizations with the same name. One, if I recall correctly, is a global newsletter, and another is a humanitarian aid. So I was thinking, okay, I don't want to get sued. I also yeah. don't want to change my name. Therefore, how can I make it more interesting? Then I realized, I realized my name starts with a C and then my middle name starts with a K. Therefore, okay, let's just mix it. And
nice. Tada,
that's the name of the show.
Tizens.
Yeah, but it's still pronounced as citizens.
Cool.
Yeah. So how it started was, as I mentioned, it was repatriation. So I grew up most of my life in Singapore. I was there since I was an 11-year-old kid. Back then, I lived with my aunt who acted as my guardian. Then I grew up with my sisters. And at that time, my elder sister went back to Indonesia in around a year or two back. The reason was she got married. And well, my second elder sister is still living in Singapore now. So it was a gigantic culture shock as well. Indirectly also, I've also been exposed to Ireland. It's because I actually graduated from University College Dublin. So yeah, so repatriation was a big culture shock to me. It's because most of my life, I grew up in Singapore, a developed country with a melting pot of cultures that you are so used to see those of multiple ethnicities and different races, and you adopted some of the races, some of the characteristics and cultures. It's because, well, you have to interact with them. So as a result, you kind of know, or you kind of want to know, how they actually behave, why they acted a certain ways. And then when I actually came back to Indonesia, it's like everything that I know about my world, about things that I know about myself, that I thought, I thought I've been exposed to all of these different cultures. And then when I come back, it's like everything is wrong. It's like, wait, what? Why am I wrong? How could this be? Isn't this much more logical to do it this way? Or in my mind is, let's say I have a really interesting story. So let's say we are having a meeting here in Indonesia. Yeah. And this is my own experience. So the meeting was a 5 hours meeting. I didn't know about it when I first started. So in that 5 hours meeting, 3.5 hours of it is not even a meeting. So the previous day, the event, they were having an event, a gala. So the next day, they were discussing about the event itself. For 3.5 hours, they were socializing. They need to make friends first. And even the remaining 1.5 hours, I don't feel it's a really productive meeting. So I was really frustrated with that. So there's a lot of different reverse cultural ethics that you just do not understand why. That's one. And if the listeners here are from Asian family, yeah, you would know how difficult it is to interact with your own parents. And you don't have to be a multicultural. The reason being is that your parents are grow up within the Eastern mindset. And when they actually come to maybe the United States or Canada, they were exposed to the Western mindset, and then they cling on to what they know about themselves, what they understood about growing up. And then, of course, they want to impart that wisdom to you. And well, there are those who succeeded. There are those who, however, more of the generalized result is because they actually adapted the cultures within the West, and at the same time, they balanced it with the Eastern philosophy. So as a result, they became a completely new kind of individuals. I think this is quite common for you, Jody. I think you have seen this in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of cultures there. There's a lot of trying to maintain their cultural right. identities there, you know, because there's a lot of blended cultures. A lot of Asian cultures come to Hawaii. A lot of Polynesian cultures in Hawaii. But there's a lot that are mixed, and it's really fun. There's a lot of, the most beautiful children that I saw in Hawaii were Tongans mixed with the Asians, Japanese, or, you know,
wow.
Beautiful kids, you know, but you know, so there's a lot of that going on too in Hawaii. It's really cool to be able to see
everybody
that.
Everybody moved to Hawaii now. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
There are a lot of beautiful places in the world, I'm sure. And yeah, Hawaii's one of them. But yeah, So that's really fascinating. So you were able to experience, you know, seeing how it's really a reality that culture is just social constructs, right? Social conditioning.
And that is correct.
And so, you know, it's just interesting that you come back to your home country, but you were experiencing a new culture because you weren't socially conditioned to understand the norms and the customs of your own country. So that's really interesting. So that's great that you're able to have these conversations on your webcast with people who have traveled, seen these experiences,
those who I recall has even, in a sense, has a much more deeper experience than me. The reason being is that the record I recall on my show is a person who has lived in 12 countries.
Wow.
And a person who has visited the most number of countries is at 150.
Oh, wow.
So can you imagine? It's like spending time there, growing up there. So yeah.
You're like moving around every couple of months, right? Basically.
Yeah, that must be really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is this. If you do travel, yes, you are exposed to a brand new culture. That is true. But here's the thing. Within a few days or even weeks, let's say, yeah, then you are back to where you are from. Your hometown, you are back to the people that you love. You are back to the same kind of environment that cultivated you. So, but that is different for those who grow up overseas or at least have to live overseas for a certain period of time. Because in order to be accepted in their society, you have to learn their mindset. So as a result, you have to adapt their principles. You have to find out a certain nitty-gritty is why am I actually not able to interact with these individuals? What happened? So this actually becomes one of the key factors that people miss out about the difference between traveling and living.
Yeah.
So let me give you guys an example here. So let's say if I tell people that I'm from Indonesia and then you tell me, oh, I've been to Jakarta. Oh, I've been to Batam. I've been to Bali. Yes, they are part of Indonesia. However, I'm sorry, that's not the full experience of an Indonesian. I think out of the three places that I mentioned, Jakarta is the... If you do tell me that you live in Jakarta for a considerable period of time, okay, I give you that. But if you are not, then I'm sorry, but that's not technically experiencing being in Indonesia. It's because Bali is an expat ground. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the environment is cultivated in order to accept foreigners to actually come and live in Indonesia. Whereas Batam is a holiday spot. So it still has the same kind of experience as Bali. So that is not an accurate description of how you feel. Oh, I know how you feel. I'm sorry, but it can be really offensive to some of us who actually do grow up overseas.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, if you haven't been actually immersed in the culture, or like you say, learning the mindsets and the social norms of that culture, then you don't know. it's like saying you've been to America because you visited New York City, but so much of the nation doesn't identify with that city. You know, it's a different culture there than it would be if you came to rural Michigan.
Yeah. And I think in every single state or even in every single part of the United States, there's an entirely different culture of your own. That's something that I've always been fascinated to find out about that. But at the current time now, there's no chance for me to go to the United States.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. You don't want to be here.
Yeah.
So this is so fascinating. I love this, you know, understanding your background and how much you've been able to experience this and have these conversations with people who travel and recognizing how to be respectful of other nations when that there's a difference between a tourist and an actual, you know, somebody who's, who lives in these countries. And, So, but I want to ask you, this is the question of, what is one dysfunctional belief or behavior that you have noticed in the, dominant culture that you think we need to address and change?
Okay. I'm going to quote from one of my past guests. She is actually a British. However, she grew up overseas in China, Hong Kong, and she even speaks Russian. So this is one thing that she mentioned. This is with she in the United Kingdom itself. So from what she has observed is that in the UK, they are less inclined, or at least if because they grow up there, they are a lot less inclined to actually learn about others' language. This is something that is a very, very, very sad opportunity that you will miss if you don't do that. You see, language is one way for you to actually ingratiate yourself into a society. For one thing is that people are more inclined to listen to you if you have the same mother tongue as them. This is something that not only in the UK has actually experienced. I actually do have one of my guests from the Philippines who actually told me that in the Philippines, they actually do want you to be able to speak Tagalog, or at least a mix of Tagalog and English. Mm-hmm. They do speak English, yes, but here's the thing. And in the UK, the mindset is, according to my guess, is that, well, we speak English, and well, the whole world also knows this should be the primary language, so therefore we don't have to learn other people's language. But here's the thing. When you hear people of this common tongue as you, you are much more inclined to assist them, that's one. And two, if you are of different ethnicity, of a different skin color, and then you actually do take the effort to learn their language, or you actually, and even maybe there are those who actually take the time to understand their culture, even if it's wrong, okay, maybe you found out about it through some media or something, then people are still more willing to help you. It's because, oh, at least you are respectful of where we come from. Different nations, different ethnicity, different cultures have different histories that resulted in how a certain culture came to be. Therefore, if you actually do try to learn about it, and well, if thankfully you actually do manage to get it, or even maybe you just need a slight tweak to it, or of course, if you are lucky, if you have a local as a friend who accompany you around, then that is something that is the best optimal situation.
Wow. So learning the languages allows you to connect with the culture and connect with the people there. That makes so much sense.
And language is not just the only thing. In fact, food could actually be something to connect you. Yeah, for one thing is that if you are willing to try out the local cuisine, and let's say maybe you have a host in front of you, and then they actually serve this particular food, and then you actually order the same dish, then people are more respectful towards you. It's because, you are willing to try out something we are eating. And for one thing is that, if let's say you even know how to pronounce the name of the food, that's something that would be amazing, is because it gave a sense of similarity, a sense of synergy, if you want to put
it. Oh, I like that word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways for you to actually interact. Of course, the first thing is you need to respect that people's culture, other people's culture, is not the same as yours. So therefore, when you actually do take the time to know it, you show that you actually know it, those outside of where you come from, they are much more inclined to accept you.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because it shows that you're more culturally literate and accepting, and that you are open to learning and accepting these different cultures, and to honor that history and that heritage that you are a guest in, basically, right? Like, correct. If I, you know, I felt like I was a guest in Hawaii, even though, I mean, it's the United States, but it's different. It's similar. I can relate it to that because, you know, in the States, we think Hawaii, you know, wearing those plastic lays and plastic grass skirts, you know, things like that. But you actually go and they think, oh, do people in Hawaii live in grass huts and stuff like that? It's like, no.
No, they have a perfectly good city.
It's, yeah.
If you really do need to.
It's a first world country. Or first world state.
They have an actual city.
Yeah. It's like, but you know, basically what you're talking about is combating ignorance, honestly. Right. Like, it's, you know, it's like people still think that pineapples grow on trees or that, you know, coconut is going to fall on your head and it's already going to crack open and spill coconut water on you. Things like, yeah, right? Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what, until I went to Hawaii, I didn't know those things. It's like, no, pineapples grow up out of the ground, coconuts, they don't just fall out of the tree. They may, but you have to husk them. You have to, you know, all these different things. They don't just crack open on you, you know, things like that. But it's like ignorance. It was just ignorance. I was just culturally illiterate before I started going and experiencing the culture and then meeting people from all over the world there and talking to them and understanding, oh, you know, we would go have, and I get you on the meal thing because Polynesians love food and it's very culturally, it's very offensive to turn down any food from them. And, you know, it's, I gained a lot of weight in Hawaii. but here's the thing, Calvin, like when I got there, you know, one of my missionary partner, she was from the Philippines and she was a thinner girl. And we go to dinner with a family from Fiji, you know, and he's like, oh yeah, you're probably going to gain about 50 pounds when you're here. Cause you look like you're already pretty chunky, you know, you're a robust, you know, and in America culture, it's like, oh, why you just called me fat, you know, but in Polynesian culture, it's beautiful. You know, it's not an insult at all. And so I learned really quickly, like there is a difference in interpretation of these kinds of things and the things that they believe in. And, you know, we sit down at dinner with this Fijian family, and my Filipina companion, and they served us a full fish, you know, and that's another thing. That's a thing that in where I grew up, we didn't eat, but my friend from the Philippines, they cut it right in half. They gave her the head. She ate it. She sucked on the eyes. She's like, I love this. It's so amazing. And I'm like, oh, my Western mindset, you know, I'm like a little cringing, you know, but you know, you're right. You just need to acknowledge the ignorance and the illiteracy of the cultures and be willing to say, you know what, that's these cultures, they're different. That's not bad. It's good to find out and learn these new things and become literate and honor and respect the heritage that comes with that culture and those mindsets.
Yes. And this is actually much more important in today's society because, well, in case anybody's been living under a rock, this entire 2020, people like to call it, we need to enforce social distancing. I don't think it is really accurate description. I like to call it physical distancing because I'm actually a lot more socially active throughout this whole pandemic. Yeah. I discovered the community of third culture kids and I am actually almost in every single time, if I'm not talking to my parents or my siblings or my relatives, this is the group of people that I talk to the most. So I'm actually a lot more socially active as compared to last time. So I don't think it's fair to call it physical distancing. I like to call it social distancing.
Reverse that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And because of the way our world has integrated, mostly due to the usage of technology, I mean, you and I are able to talk from different parts of the world now.
Yeah.
So that is something that needs to be taken note of because now I think one of the future upcoming trends is of course remote hiring now because you realize that the world is actually a lot more connected than it was in the past. There needs to be a lot of new culture. So as a result, there needs to be a lot more awareness on what is it in a certain time zone, what is it in a certain country, how you are supposed to interact. I'm quite interested to find out about it. Who knows, maybe in the future there will be a guy who wrote a book called How to Act on the Internet.
Yeah, that they do need that. Just start by being culturally literate, and whoever you're going to talk to, start to open your mind to those, to the possibilities of learning from them and connecting on a deeper cultural level. So that's so okay. This is so fascinating, and I love this conversation, because, like you say, we're connected. We have to be willing to open our minds and become literate culturally so that we can understand these mindsets, and recognizing too that learning more about other countries, you're not going to lose. You can only gain. Like this idea in the UK, not to learn different languages and trying to say, oh, everybody in the world should learn English. And you're right. Nobody's going to want to work with you if you're going to be bullheaded like that, right? Like you're not going to have that speaks to not only are you not culturally literate, you probably don't have a growth mindset. You probably don't have you're not willing to work well with other people anyways. So you're going to limit progress in every way, if that's your mindset. Correct.
And just to add on to what you said, Jody, the thing is this, if you don't learn how to adapt, to actually accept these other cultures, this other mindset, you are going to grow stale, like what you said. Mm. And why you do that is because both the East and West side of the world, everybody have their own way of doing things. But at the same time, you don't, like what you said, you don't have to lose what you already have, for one thing. And the second part is that if you actually adapt their way of working, you actually grow. You actually learn to progress out of it. Like, for example, I've always admired that in the United States, there's always tons of entrepreneurs that actually made it. This is something that interests me. How come there's so many of that? Whereas in Asia, we actually are more inclined to be employed as compared to taking the risks to actually start venturing out on our own. Mm. So when I actually found out in the difference mindset on Hofstad cultural dimension, like for example, the need to be able to express yourself, to be able to be more individualistic in a sense, this is something that fascinates me, is because the different culture actually makes you interact on your own. And it doesn't mean that it is good or bad. Like for example, in Asia, the need to appreciate on cultures, respect and honor is something that is taught and ingrained into us since we were young. If you are able to, let's say, be an individual that has this orient mindset, but you can work with the way the Western works, isn't that something that would make you a commodity and in fact a rare talent to have, because you are respectful of culture, but you are able to be dynamic, you are able to interact with different kind of individuals, and as a result you are able to lead, you are able to produce a work of a higher quality, and yet you are able to maintain a good relationship with your team.
And it's so important. I love that. I love what you just shared. And dang, there was something you said too that I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to say. But anyway, I just love what you just said, because it's about cultural diversity, literacy. And that's what I was going to say, that you wanted to say that it's not good or bad, that when you meet these other cultures and you meet people from other places in the world, to suspend judgment, like don't lean on any biases or, cultural prejudice, right? Like to be have an open mind and say that, what they do is neither good nor bad. It's just what they do. That's their cultural mindset. That's their culture that they have been socially conditioned to accept. And just because that's not our social conditioning doesn't mean that it's bad. We just need to come into it with an open mind and judge neither good nor bad. Just be open mind to be curious, even perhaps, right? That's going to facilitate growth. That's going to facilitate innovation.
Yes. And it's actually an easier way for you to ingratiate yourself to this new custom is actually found out the similarity with your own custom.
Oh, I like that.
A certain food or even a certain gesture, a certain way of greeting, a certain mindset, it's always have a certain origin to it. And sometimes, funny enough, you found out that, hey, this is the same that what I actually grew up with. Like, for example, let's say we compare maybe cuisines, yeah? Because it's the easiest way for people to actually ingratiate themselves. So, for example, Filipino food and Indonesian food, they actually share some spices. So, this is actually quite interesting. One of my best friends is actually a Filipino. So, at that time, I actually went for his birthday. Then, when I actually saw the food, so there's Japanese food because he likes sushi. Mm-hmm. Then, I actually saw the dessert. It's like, hey, I ate this in Indonesia. How come you have it? Yeah, it's the same Filipino food, bro. I'm like, ah, okay, oops. This is really interesting. So it's not only that, you know, there's multiple variants of how, and in fact, some food is pronounced a certain way because it's actually originated from a certain country because, well, this is actually the beauty of diversity. It's because how you see things doesn't mean it has to be the same way as how others see it, but it doesn't mean that you cannot see it the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's literate, become educated and accept, like enjoy and embrace the diversity. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's awesome. So I love this idea of learning about different cultures and being able to embrace them and experience them. So what about like right now with our families, we're not traveling or anything right now. But I want to be able to educate my kids about cultural diversity and to help them to embrace it and appreciate it. What are some things that I can do?
You can watch my show.
Okay. good. Are there any like books or anything like that that, you know,
there are plenty of books for one thing. There's also, we, the Third Culture Kid, like to call it the Our Bible. It's called Growing Up Amongst World. And it's done there's also books by Ruth Van Raken and David Pollock. Yeah, okay. Ruth Van Raken. We call it the Bible for TCK. It's because, well, it's actually a book written about Ruth's experience growing up as a third culture kid. So therefore, a lot of us, when we start reading, it's like, oh my goodness, this is what I was feeling growing up. So this is one way. And I'm actually a movie buff. So this is something that I actually would, since you being a mother yourself, yeah, you can actually tell your kids, you know, you can actually ask them these unique questions. This is something I've been asking a lot of my guests actually on my show. If you can create a character or even a TV show to address multicultural or even social issues, what would the creator, what would it be? So, like, for example, there's the recent movie Moana, which is actually based on the Polynesian history. Of course, they changed Maui's character to actually look like a giant. Fun fact, one of the inspiration is actually Dwayne The Rock Johnson's own grandfather, High Chief Peter Maivia. So this is something that you actually can educate your children in, is because to expose a different kind of ethnicity, because this, of course, well, media is done in order to pander for ratings. This is undeniable. I mean, yeah.
Say that again.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Again. A lot of media programs was done in order to pander for a national demographic. It's because, this is because, well, you can't blame them also for that. It's because if you see people of the same ethnicity as you, you are a lot more...
You're likely to watch it.
A lot more inclined.
People
are a lot more inclined to watch it. However, if you actually do introduce diversity, this is actually something that is actually normalizing it. Like, for example, I need to call out a little bit on this. Like, let's say if I ask about Asian representation, a lot of time that I see is an Asian woman in a skimpy attire as the love interest. So I don't understand why not all of us Asians know Kung Fu or are good in mathematics.
What?
You know?
Yeah.
In fact, there are a lot of Asian-born directors who is actually doing well in the Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Justin Wan. Wait, what's his name? Justin Lin, I believe. He was the guy who directed Fast and Furious.
Oh, really? I haven't watched any of those, so.
Yeah, I believe that's him. Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan, a lot of these individuals came from the minority, I guess, in the United States. They are doing really well. Yeah, it shows that they are creatives. How come you guys are not? I'm not addressing
again. This is the dominant culture that I'm trying to discuss. Like, this is, we need to become more diverse and to recognize. And what you're talking about is media literacy. You know, that's correct. Being able to watch these things and question them, be like, what are they trying to basically, you know, this is again, social conditioning that when we see Asian people in those roles, then we start to believe, oh, that's what's normal. When it's not. Yeah, and so it's our job as parents to become media literate as well as culturally literate and question those things and figure out what is the message that that piece of media or those characters trying to infiltrate our beliefs about those cultures. And there's a lot of that, you know, a lot of different things that we could go on about media literacy, but cultural understanding the cultural biases that are being introduced because of our media. That's a really good point to bring out. You know, I mean, there was a lot of discussion around like Moana because, you know, oh, is this cultural appropriation that Disney came and took Moana and, you know, no, you don't think so. No. Well, because it's, they Disneyfied it. And so that's, you know, maybe their concern, but having lived in Hawaii,
you cannot just tell maybe 100 years of a certain way of doing things.
True.
Is just, hey, this is the how it's supposed to be done. Bam, then everything changed. No,
yeah,
it's a baby. It's a small step. Maybe it's a baby step. But the thing is that as long as there's an actual effort to it, I mean. The fact that the people who are actually casted for Moana are of Polynesian descent. So
yeah,
that's an effort to it. And even though, yes, I do see there's a certain Disney vibe to it, but I do see that there's a certain effort that is done in order to actually respect the tradition. Like, for example, in the recent Aquaman movie, this is actually a little bit of a known fact, actually. But the Temuera Morrison, who actually played Arthur Curry's father, and Jason Momoa, when he actually came up from the sea, they actually did a Samoan style greeting. Actually, I think it's called Haori. Was it? I'm so sorry if I butchered it. But
it's okay.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, they actually. Oh wait, sorry. It's called Hongi.
Okay.
I hope I don't butcher its pronunciation.
We're trying, right? That's all that matters, right, Calvin? Right? Yeah. We're trying, and the Polynesian culture is so beautiful, and there's so many amazing things about it. Yeah, so that's cool.
Yes, a different culture has their own beauty to it. Of course, it's not easy for you to immediately separate yourself from what you know, and then to immediately accept other things like. For example, when I was driving, a lot of my Spotify has songs from at least 4 languages. And my dad grew up with Indonesian music all his life. So when I actually play different songs, and I'm much more inclined to speaking English as compared to my own mother tongue, because I grew up with speaking English a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad actually listened to all the songs that I play, it's like, son, why does your songs feel so different? I mean, it's not bad, but it just feels different. So it's like, well, this is the songs that I grew up
Uh-huh. Well, that, oh my gosh, Calvin, we could go on a whole other topic around this because, I mean, well, you're bringing up a good point, how much media influences our culture, because it not only does it inform and shape the culture of nations and communities, it shapes and informs the culture of generations too. You know, it's so multifaceted. It's fast, you know, just understanding how much of an impact our media has on our culture and our social conditioning. He's fascinating.
Correct. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, if anybody doesn't know him, I don't know what to
say. Again, living under a rock.
Four-time NBA champion, three-time NBA Finals MVP. Says before that people tend to understand something or just wish to understand something from what they see, what they hear, or what others tell others how they are supposed to be. But do you actually get to understand better when you actually get to the deep, the nitty gritty about it. You actually go in to understand why is it done in a certain way.
Yeah.
So this is something that I think people need to be a lot more aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that, like this idea of, you know, even seeing little gestures like in Aquaman, like you were saying, the way that they greeted each other, to be able to say, huh, interesting. I wonder what that is. I wonder what that stems from, and ask it and do the research and find out. And then you become more literate and you become more appreciative of what those cultures do and what that means. So that's awesome. So thank you so much, Calvin. This is really cool to talk about this and to get your perspective about it. And I just have really enjoyed talking to you. But let's tell us where we can connect with you and watch your webcast and of your Global Citizens webcast.
Global Citizens webcast is available on both YouTube. Sadly, however, I'm stuck at 10 for YouTube. The reason being is that this is my own personal pride as a content creator, is that I don't like to re-upload what I've done. So I can keep, this is my own personal pride about it. I'm trying to come up with some new stuff, but ideas don't just come in out of a tree. It doesn't just pop. Okay.
We got it. Maybe we could do a brainstorm sometime. Do a mastermind. Let's come up with some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Most of the time you can find it at my Facebook. There's two of it. One is on my Facebook page itself.
I'll include the links as well. Yeah.
Say my name. It's really long. And the thing is that I also have a Facebook page also whereby all of my past videos are actually being put. Some of my articles that I've actually done, it's there. So do check it out. And other than that, you can find me in my Instagram, Global CK Citizens. I'm always there. Or if you do have LinkedIn too, I do post my videos on LinkedIn nowadays. So yeah, you guys can find me. But all in all, it's actually my name is just too long. So I'll just pass the spelling to Jody so that she...
Yeah, well, I will make sure it's in the show notes for sure. And then what you're going to look for is Global, GLOBAL, and then CT... Excuse me.
Oh, CK.
Start over. CKTIZENS. That's your handle. Okay, cool. Yeah, very cool. This is so much fun. And I really appreciated talking with you and getting these ideas and you know, just having this conversation, because I just, you know, it's unfortunate that people are closed-minded. It's unfortunate that people are, you know, trying to... Yeah, just trying to maintain some kind of status quo with their, you know, racial biases and things. And it's unfortunate.
Gordon Ramsay once said that, you know, people love the familiarity. I mean, if you notice, practically every single food you can get in a restaurant is something you can make at home.
They charge a lot more at restaurants because it's a convenience, right? But they want the familiarity. Yeah, totally.
The sense of familiarity gives them the comfort. So when what they are familiar with is actually being reversed or maybe modified or evolved in a certain way, they find it odd. But it's still there in the first place. And even if, let's say, it's not what you're familiar with, there's nothing wrong with you learning something new. Because, you meet new people every day. So might as well you learn their culture. And in fact, it could be something that improves your overall development.
Exactly. Well, like I was saying about having a growth mindset, when you are closed off to diversity and change and growth, then you're living in fear. And that's, you know, you're motivated by fear, you're limited by fear. And it does take an element of faith and trust and hope that as you learn those things, you'll be better off. And even if you have to go through a period of being uncomfortable, right? Once you get past that learning curve, you will be better for it.
Yes. And maybe if I can add on a little bit to that, yeah, it's not you hoping you will be better. You will be better. The reason why is I've hosted a show with over 50 individuals who grow up in this mindset. Some of them are renowned entrepreneurs, international speakers. So I can guarantee you they are doing well and they adapted this mindset. So if I can only tell you, you only have one or two people, okay, I get sense. But I have over 50 of them. You can find them on my show. If you tell me that, oh, you know, I don't grow out of, then I'm sorry, there is something wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, it's very fear-based, and it's unfortunate because you're right. We will always be better off growing and learning and expanding our minds. So that's awesome. Cool. Well, we will check out your show. And I really, again, Tiawan, thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed talking to you. Glad you were able to tune in for this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Don't miss the next episode with my guest, Lainey Liberty, where we talk about the power of world schooling and that even though we can't all do world schooling, there are ways that we can incorporate and widen the cultural lens of our children's awareness. Check it out. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Help more people find the show. Download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Success Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember to set your intentions for your family culture and lead your family toward your vision of success.